Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 24. I want to talk to you a little bit more tonight about the phrase or the word go or going forward that we've been looking at for several weeks. And I want to talk to you some more about that tonight on moving forward or going forward. And I will say this to you, I do believe that is God's will, not only for us individually in our individual lives, but it's God's will for us as a church, amen, is to move forward. Today, of course, on Wednesdays, I'm usually at the sheriff's office part of the day. And today I was there and me and the major was talking, and he said, man, I've been listening to those going forward and about not sitting still and sharing the gospel with others. And that is God's will for us. And I know I've said this several times in this series, but I want to say it again tonight. If all we do is sit still, then we will eventually die as a church. If we're not growing, and the only way that we'll grow is to go. For growing to take place, there must be a going that takes place. Amen? And if we don't go, and if we don't grow, eventually we will end up becoming a dying church. And if there's not new people coming into the church, you know what's going to happen over time? Over time, the church is going to become distinct. It's going to become, it's just going to die. It's going to go to the side. Why? Because there's not new blood. Let me tell you the reason that family trees or families end up dying out. It's because they are not reproducing. And I want to say this to our church. We should reproduce as the church. Knocking on doors, inviting people to the house of God. And that should be our goal, is to move forward in these days. Now, let's think about a few things right here. Look with me in Genesis 24. Now, I need to read the whole chapter to you, but if I read the whole chapter to you, there's 67 verses, and I'm just going to have to pray and say amen when I get done, because our time will be up. With the Discovery Bible Club, we try to watch that. But here's what I want to pick up in. I want to pick up in verse number 58 in just a second. But let me give you a little bit of groundwork. There are four important characters in this passage. One of them is Abraham. The other one is his servant. The other one is Isaac. And the other one is Rebekah. Abraham is a picture of the Heavenly Father. The servant is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Isaac is a picture of the Son. And Rebekah is a picture of the sinner who comes to the Lord after the Son and the Father sends the Holy Ghost to get her and woo her in. Now, we can look at salvation in this, and my soul, if you can't preach salvation out of this passage right here, something's wrong with you. But I really don't want to bring that salvation application into it. But what happens is Abraham asked the servant to go to a far country and to bring Rebekah back to him. And we know in studying the Word of God that that's what ends up happening right here in this passage of Scripture. Now, Rebekah is going back to somebody that she's never saw. She's never met in person. She takes the word of the servant about what her husband will be. Again, man, there's so many applications, and I'm trying not to bog down in that. But you know the way that we see Christ today is through the eye of faith. We believe what the Word of God says and how the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, and that's the way that we see Him. But look with me in verse number 57. The Bible said this, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. The Bible said in verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will. Now here's our word, go. She said, I will go. Look with me in verse number 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed be possesses the gate of those which hate them." Go to verse 67 for the sake of time. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Here's what I'm interested in tonight. I will go. She said in verse number 58, "I will go." You know what she's saying? She's saying this, "I will make a change." Oh yeah, I've done said that word, change. But preacher, this is Bottom, North Carolina, or Beulah, North Carolina, or Dobson, or Mount Airy, or Low Gap. All of it's right here. This is where all of it meets at. You can throw a rock, and right there's the Low Gap address, and right there's the Dobson address. But we're Mount Airy. But preacher, we don't like change. And I'm going to say a lot more about that in just a minute, but you know what she was saying? She's saying, "I will go. I will leave my comfort zone. I will go." Now, Father, you know the need of the service tonight, and God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Father, you know the need of every person sitting here, and I pray, God, that your word would find a lodging place in their heart. I pray, God, that you'd help me tonight. Help me to rightly divide it, God, and I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Rebekah has lived comfortable her whole life where she's at, but there came a time in her life where she was going to have to make a choice whether to stay where she was or whether to go. And Rebekah ends up choosing to go with the servant back to Abraham and Isaac. Now, in doing that, just as I said about Ruth several weeks ago, she ends up getting a whole lot more than she ever dreamed that she was going to get by going with the servant that day. Let me show you three things about this. I will go tonight. Number one, there had to be a choice that was made. There had to be a choice that was made. It was a question that was proposed to her. "Wilt thou go?" And she said this, "I will go." It is more than a choice, but going with God is a choice. Yes, it's far more than that, but understand, to move forward, to go forward, there has to be a choice. And you will make a choice. You'll choose to go forward, or you'll choose to stand still. You say, "Well, I don't like making choices." And I hear that from my beloved wife a lot of times. "I just don't like to make a choice." But can I say something to you? When you don't make a choice, you chose to not make a choice. So in choosing to not make choices, you made a choice. Are you with me tonight? Have I lost everybody yet? It's a choice. Our life is made up of choices. It is. Every day of our life, we make the choice whether to get out of the bed or not. We make the choice whether or not to eat biscuits and gravy or a smoothie for breakfast. And you know what? You can eat a smoothie for breakfast, but come about, well, if you eat it about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, come about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, you're going to need something else. You better put you some protein in there if you want it to last you very long. But you make a choice. You make a choice. You know what you're going to do? You're going to make a choice whether or not to go to work tomorrow. You're going to make a choice when you get home tonight whether to eat a snack before you go to bed tonight. "I'm going to eat more than a snack. I didn't eat supper. I'm about to starve to death." We might have eggs and french fries down at the Barker house tonight. But there's choices that our life is made up of. And listen to me, church, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to keep going in the right direction, number one, there is a choice that Rebekah had to make. I want you to see a few things about this choice. This choice was met by resistance. Look in verse number 55 tonight. It comes to them at verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. Boy, that changed real quick, didn't it? A few to 10. After that, she shall what? Go. The source of that resistance was her family. What about that? You know, sometimes the greatest resistance that you'll face whenever you choose to go forward with God will come from your family. You know what we say a lot of times? There's an old song that says this. You may notice that we say brother and sister around here. Let me tell you the reason why the song says it's because we're a part of the family of God. If you're saved tonight, then we are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes the greatest resistance that you'll find down at the church house for going forward will come from the family. It'll come from the family. There was a resistance that was met that day, but she still had to make a choice what she was going to do. Let me show you two or three things about this choice. Number one, this choice was personal. Look in verse number 57. The Bible said this, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. You know what they're saying? Here's what they're saying. We're going to call Rebecca in and we're going to say, what is it that you want to do? And you know what she done? She said, I will go. It was a personal choice that was put in her lap what she was going to do. Nobody else could choose for her to do that. She had to choose herself. I want to say this to you tonight. Don't nobody fall out with me, but I want to say this to you tonight. One thing that is lacking so much in our society today is two words, personal responsibility. Have you ever noticed that sometimes whenever a young person or a child fails something, it's always the teacher's fault? Is everybody okay tonight? It's always the teacher's fault. Whenever this happens or that happens, it's always somebody else's fault. The other day I was in Burnsville. I hate to say this publicly, but I'm going to use it to my shame as an illustration. I was in Burnsville, and you just got to understand the parking lot that I was in. At the back of one of the parking spaces, right in the blind spot, is a power pole. And the last time that we was there, Trey backed into that power pole in his Camaro, and I made fun of him. I laughed at him. So I went back up there, and I had to park in that exact spot, Brother Brian, the other day. I mean, it's right in the blind spot of your camera, of your mirror, of your backup sensor, and everything else. Is everybody listening tonight? So we went in to eat, me and Brother Bradley and Daddy and Todd and Gabe and Miss Madeline. And the whole time, I said, y'all remember when Trey run into that light pole out there? And we laughed about that. I walked out and talked about it walking out and pointed out the pole behind my truck. I got into the truck. I put it in reverse. I looked down at my mirror. I looked in my mirror briefly. But I didn't do what they taught us to do in driver's ed. Turn around. So I started to back up, and when I started to back up, I found that light pole that I had been laughing at Trey about and making fun about. And Daddy said, as soon as I hit it, he went, I got whiplash. I said, Hoss, I didn't hit it that hard. I said, if you hadn't have been talking, the bad part about it, I was talking to Keith Easter from the Ford place on the phone when it happened. Oh, yeah. It's over there now. It's back at Scenic Collision right now, getting fixed. You say, preacher, what are you saying? You know whose fault it was I hit that light pole? It was my fault because I didn't turn around and look. Let me tell you what the problem is in a lot of society today. We don't want to accept personal responsibility. There is a choice that she had to make. And I want to tell you something. In your life, in your personal life going forward, young people, in your personal life, as you begin to choose a career, Olivia and I, we've been having this talk for 2 or 3 days now. Olivia, what do you want to be when you're, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I hate school. She hates it. And I said, well, you'll have to figure out something. You'll have to figure out something. And she told us, she said, well, I find the person to marry, y'all all going to be surprised. So I guess it's some millionaire she's got staked out somewhere. You say, well, her place is to stay at home and raise her children. I believe that's right according to the Word of God. But you know what? There may come a time that something happens to her husband and she needs to have something to fall back on. That's the way I'm trying to raise mine. And I've told her, I said, we need to think about this and we need to think about that. What are you saying? She's going to have to make some personal choices. The reason, you know what, those 2 grades I like so much, they let me take them during the summer. Twice. I tell the truth and lie not. Twice, Brother Matt, I got to spend 2 summers at the great Boonville Christian Academy. And let me tell you whose fault that was. It wasn't the teacher's fault. It wasn't my mama's fault. It wasn't my daddy's fault. It was my fault that I didn't apply myself to study the way that I should. Madeline had a big test today, huge test today, she said. And Monday morning we got up and she didn't have to go to school. And I said, hey, look, I said, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I said, won't you just run around with me a while today? And she said, no, I can't. And I said, well, why can't you? She said, me and Joanna's meeting at school. I said, you didn't have school. She said, no, but we've got a big test Wednesday. I said, well, what's today got to do with Wednesday? She said, I've got to study. I said, okay. So yesterday morning I had to run to Galax. I got up, I got Madeline up and I said, hey, let's go to Galax. She said, I can't. I said, why can't you? You don't have to work today. You don't have school today. She said, I got a test tomorrow. I said, that's tomorrow. She said, I got to study. I said, you done that yesterday. I'm beginning to think she won't have nothing to do with me anymore. She said, well, I'm meeting Joanna at the school here in just a minute. I said, well, you done that yesterday. Why can't I have time instead of Joanna getting all the time? She said, I got to study. You know what she was saying? She was making a personal choice. She was making a personal choice. Even though Daddy tried to sway her, Brother Brian, she made a personal choice. Here's what I'm saying to you tonight, church. When it comes to moving forward, when it goes to taking the next step, whether it's in a spiritual sense, or you can preach this to young people or anybody as they're pursuing a career, it comes a time when you've got to make a choice to do the right thing. It was a personal choice. It was a personal choice. Rebecca chose herself. She took that personal responsibility upon herself and said, I will go. Watch this. It was not only a personal choice, it was a powerful choice. Those 3 little words, I will go, changed her life forever. Forever. Changed it forever. Can I say something to you? The choice that I made to go with God and walk with God and serve God and love God one day absolutely changed my life forever. It was a powerful choice. When I chose to go with God, it was a powerful choice. But watch this. It's not only a personal choice and a powerful choice. I've got to move quickly. It was the passion in the choice. There was a passion in that choice. Something the servant said, something the servant had, something drew her to make this choice. There was a passion inside of her. I thought about this the night that I got saved by the grace of God. There was the love of God that drew me, even though I didn't know who the Lord was. I didn't understand really what all salvation was. I didn't even really know what all I was going to get. But I heard a preacher say, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll change your life. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to live a miserable life. There's a God that'll change your life and make a new creature out of you. And that night, I made a personal choice because there was a passion that was relayed to me from a man of God through the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost instilled it in my heart that night. And I made the choice to follow. There was a passion in that choice. You ever thought about that? I was reading a while ago. For some reason, something, y'all ever have them moments where something just sparks your interest? I had one of them a while ago. I guess it was about 6 or 6:15. And for some reason, I just started reading on the Amish people. I just did. I got to reading on the Amish people. And their beards is for a reason. If they've got a beard, they're married. The longer it is, the longer they've been married. And I got to reading on it. And there comes a time in those Amish people's life when they're a teenager, there comes a time in early adulthood, and I can't remember the exact title that they give it, but they are allowed to go into the world. And I'm going to tell you something, Amish people is very devout in their rules and regulations. They're allowed to go into the world and to try the world. Some stay in the world, but a very large majority of them always come back, and then they ask the Grand Poombah, whatever he's called, for forgiveness for doing things that was not in their tradition. Because if they don't ask for forgiveness, they can be excommunicated. It's really pretty interesting to read about. But what brings them back to that? A passion. A passion brings them back to that. What brings us back to the house of God? It's a passion that brings us back. What caused her to make this decision that she made? It was a passion. She's never seen him. She knows, only thing she knows about Isaac, only thing she knows is what's been told to her by somebody else. But you know what she does? She jumps on the camel and she says, and did you catch that? She jumped on the camel. She didn't like the camel. She jumped on the camel. All right, it's two different kind of camels. You've got to explain that up in here. This was the camel they rode and not the camel that they smoked, okay? She jumped on the camel and took off. It all comes back to this. She made a choice. She made the choice. I want to say something to you tonight. And next we'll look at her commitment and her change here in just a second. But I want to say something to you tonight. It comes down to the time in our life where we have to make a choice. Well, we have to make a choice. Well, Ruth had to make a choice. Are you going to stay or are you going to go? Ruth said, I'll go. Rebecca came down to a moment in her life. What are you going to do, Rebecca? You know what she done? She chose to go. She chose to go. That's what she chose to do. And in choosing to go, my soul, what all Rebecca ends up getting. What all she ends up getting. Why? Because she made a choice. Her choice was what? Go. Her choice was move. Her choice was, and I got this at the end of the message if I get there, her choice was change. I didn't get many amens right there, did I? That's what her choice was. You know, we can, Miss Tina, you care to come start playing softly. We can, and I know we're a little bit early, but at the same time, I just want to be obedient to the Lord. I've heard people and make this statement. Well, you know what? I'm not that interested in our church growing. Well, where can you prove that to me out of the Word of God? Where can you take the Bible and give me scripture that God says for us not to grow? You can't do it. You can't do it. It's not to be done. So we got to make a choice. Are we going to move forward? or are we going to go backwards? We're going to make one of the two choices. I want to say this to you tonight. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a choice here in just a minute. You're going to make a choice whether or not to accept the Lord as your personal Savior or to not accept the Lord as your personal Savior. You're going to make a choice whether or not to allow this change to come into your life that will literally change you for eternity or to not. All of it comes back in your lap. And there comes a day. Madeline, not long ago, as any kid does every once in a while, made a bad grade on a test. I mean, if I'd have made a 70, I was like, whew. If Miss Tina wasn't there, I was doing good to get a 70. Miss Tina was there, I was up in the A's. You say, well, how'd that happen? Well, we'll not talk about none of that. You can just put the pieces of the puzzle together. Are you with me? And here's what she said. She said, Mama, you pressure me too much. And I said, stop. I heard her. I wasn't in the room, but I heard it. And I showed up in the room very rapidly, Brother Joe. And I said, stop. I said, Madeline, you made the choice to make that grade on that test. I said, did you study to the best of your ability? And I've just told her, and you may think I'm wrong about this, but that's all right. I'm raising her and not you. I told her she got whatever the email was that she can take her nursing test in May to get into the nursing program. And I looked at her, and here's what I told her, Brother Brian. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this because you've done been down that road. But here's what I told her. I said, the next 4 years of your life, kiss social life goodbye and stay in the books if you're going to make it. So I told her, Miss Tina, you've been down that road. That's what I told her. And I said, now you've got to make a choice. You've got to make that choice. I'm not going to make you do it. But if we start it, we going all the way with it. If Daddy's shelling the money out, somebody give me a witness right there. We going all the way with it. There's no turning back. We're going to put our heart into it. I said, but you've got to make that choice. Olivia, every once in a while, she'll get upset. And she'll say, but Mama, she's worse than Madeline sometimes. And I'll say, Olivia, come in here. Sit down. What? Mama didn't make you do that. You chose yourself to do that. Every once in a while, she'll get her phone took away. She'll say, Mama made me raise my voice. Mama cock a gun, stick it to your head, and say, I'm going to pull the trigger if you don't holler. A lot of people say, well, it's what everybody else is doing. Well, if everybody else goes and gets on top of the Reynolds Tower in Winston tonight and jumps off, are you going to jump with them? No, you've got to learn in your life to make a choice. And that choice has a consequence that comes with it. And Rebecca said, I choose to go. And in choosing to go, man, oh man, and we'll look at it. I've got it all in this message. I really thought I'd get to it tonight. What she got by choosing to go. Church, let's choose to go. Let's choose to move forward. Hey, if you're lost here tonight, why don't you make a choice to accept Christ as your personal Savior? There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. The coming of the Lord is at hand. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. The choice is in our ball court.